So let's bow our heads and say a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we know at every single holy sacrifice, the Mass, you have special, extraordinary graces for us, like communion, and the readings, and the sermons. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to these graces this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, again teaching in parables, it's a beautiful parable about a great king, a generous king, who has his wedding feast. It's going to be for his son. And obviously this king, this refers to our Father in heaven, and the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal banquet of heaven, the banquet we celebrate at every single holy sacrifice of the Mass. So he sends out his servant, his own servant, to invite. And the reaction, you think the reaction would be, whoa, the king has invited me to be at this special feast. But that's not the reaction. Instead, some ignored the invitation. Yeah, whatever. And some were busy about their business. One went to his farm, one another to his business. Whoa, what's going on here? But the king doesn't give up then. And he sends out another invitation to other people. And they go to the highways, the byways, main roads, everywhere, inviting people. I think what happens here, many of those who were invited, there was a blindness, a spiritual blindness, an indifferentism, sloth, laziness. Because the first reading here that the church has going with the gospel is from Isaiah chapter 25. And Isaiah said there's a veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven all over all the nations. There's like a block there. Now obviously all of us here, we see by faith. We don't see by the eyesight, right? Unless you're a special mystic like St. Padre Pio. But there's something that happens when we daily accept an invitation of Christ, that a relationship with him. The veil gets thinner. Our faith becomes more real. Where we reel in a deep certainty, without any doubt, that God is real, that the angels are here, the saints, my prayers are heard by God, etc. We really believe. But now what happens, this veil can get thick and go the other way. The more that we neglect prayer, the more we allow sin to dominate our life, the veil can get thicker and thicker and thicker to the point, God, I don't believe in him. So it could go that way. Now, a lot of these people here too, okay, they acknowledge there was an invitation there, but part of it is just laziness. What a wedding feast? You know, I gotta change my schedule for that. I'm gonna have to dress up a little bit for that. No, thank you. Now, today's world, this web of deceit, this veil also gets thick. It's reinforced by the media, the propaganda campaign, the TV shows, the print advertising, the movies. It's God doesn't exist. Have you ever seen? Growing up, I would see like old John Wayne movies and things like that. I really liked him as a man. Really, was right, wrong was wrong. And a lot of those movies you would see, there would be like a crucifix in the back of the room, reference to God or reverence a certain thing like that. But nowadays, that's totally absent. Now, there's a beautiful author, his name is Michael O'Brien, who's written many beautiful Catholic novels, like Father Elijah. And he recently was interviewed on LifeSite News, and he said, confusion is created everywhere through the media. Media is the primary shaper of consciousness of our times. And what's the message? Do what God says, and you'll have no life. It's real subtle. His reign, God's reign, is at worst about oppression, and at best about endless boredom. Either you reject him, or if you really have to believe in him, just don't be a fanatic about it. He'll give you 1 hour, maybe a week. Give the obligatory nod to God, and go out and, quote, get a life. Now think about this, the rock concerts. Think about the football stadium, especially today, Sunday, filled throughout the nation, 7,500, 80,000 people. The playoffs going on in baseball, stadiums filled. Every single Catholic church, especially this tri-state area, should be filled on Sundays. Population-wise, there's enough Catholics. They should all be filled. It's like pulling teeth to come to be with the King of Kings. So many people just ignore that invitation. They're busy about their own business. God is nowhere in their top five of priorities. And I think a real part of that is sloth. Now, someone may have a lot of energy. They bring their kids to the soccer games. They take care of this or that, Super Bowl parties. Maybe if you're a big baseball fan, getting the group together for the baseball game. Not that it's bad in itself, but it pushes God back. There's like a indifferentism, a slothfulness when it comes to God. And it was a wise monk. And he said, the greatest sin of our sex-saturated, hyperactive culture is not lust, as you think it would be, but ironically, that spiritual laziness called sloth. It's called acidia. Spiritual laziness called sloth. You ever see like on a nature program, the sloth, that little animal, mammal, it's down in the rainforest of Central and South America? He was a little creature, and he moves so slow that they said algae actually grows on its fur. It sleeps 20 hours out of a 24-hour day. And this is its top rate of speed is 0.15 miles per hour. It's just there. No, it's just there. Now, for some particular reason, God created this creature to praise him a certain way, which we'll find in eternity, but we're not supposed to be like that, like the sloth. Just there. We're here to praise God, to reverence God, to love God, huh? And to bring others to that. Now, I think this is a real image when you think about sloth. Someone that sits hours and hours, endless hours in front of the television, or hours and hours before the computer, video games, or Xbox. All in itself, is it bad? No. You may say I have some good movies that are motivational, but what's happening? They're avoiding and not doing a lot of other things that should be done. Now, Father John Harden, who I often quote, the Sword of God, he gives us a great definition about sloth or laziness. It's, quote, sluggishness, okay, this definition, sluggishness of soul or boredom because of the exertion necessary for the performance of good work. The good work may be a corporal task, such as walking, a mental exercise like study or writing, or a spiritual duty, what we're focused on here, a spiritual duty such as prayer. Now, sloth is one of the seven capital sins. And the church from St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that of these capital sins, we call it capital sin because so many other sins will sprout up from that major sin. Now, sloth, this laziness, has two effects. We're avoiding something, running away from something, and running to something. Because nature abhors a vacuum. You know, we're running away from something, running away from God, we talk about spiritual sloth, and running towards the world. Now it says this, many times what people will do, they'll run away from the religion because of unpleasantness. What? I have to die to self? To seek many unlawful things as a means of escape. And this begets only more sins. So St. Thomas says, those who find no joy in spiritual pleasures have recourse to pleasures of the body. I mentioned this before, and it's true. The deeper your relationship with our Lord in the Eucharist, at one point in your spiritual life, this will happen. You start thinking about Him more and more and hungering to be in His presence. Just like when the husband's wife said when you first started dating, thinking about your future spouse, being in their presence. Same thing will happen to the Eucharist. But if we're not trying to cultivate that, then St. Thomas says, naturally we're going to have recourse then to pleasures of the body. Now, just real quick, breaking this down from little St. Thomas. He said, this fleeing from God, what will happen then as a consequence of the sin of sloth, fearful of making a commitment? Have you ever met couples, maybe they're together for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, they haven't gotten married? Fearful of making commitment. Second, indifference with regard to God's commandments. It slows the spiritual progress, even to a halt, to the point where there may be a detestation of the spiritual things. But one's heart and intentions are focused earthward and not towards heaven. Now the other effect then, so that's away, then towards, we're lured by the idea the grass is greener on the other side. So if sloth is dominating in our life, that means we're not cultivating the soil where we're at. And so the grass will always seem greener on the other side. One's mind is then curious about what does not concern him. Where St. Thomas says, can open the door to countless temptations. What if? What if? St. Augustine said, no doubt, he was speaking from personal experience, that many a grave sin against chastity had its first beginnings in curiosity. See, these are all tentacles coming from sloth. The devil understands this far better than we do, and how well he makes use of it through the modern medium. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Okay, now a couple remedies, things we can do. First thing, look for a goal. Our goal is heaven, right? It should be heaven. It should be that union with Christ. So we have to renew the vigor of faith in our heart, cultivating, doing some kind of spiritual reading, or some kind of Ignatius Press has all these beautiful 3-hour movies on these saints. They started the series, I don't know how many years ago, but these wonderful movies, St. Rita of Cassia. If you're a husband having difficulty with your wife, look up St. Ignatius Press, St. Rita of Cassia. Wonderful. Or if you have difficulty standing up to your faith, St. Anthony of Padua, he was a man's man. There's just wonderful videos. First, so the saint, it's not a saint, I think it's a servant of God, Father Garrigou Lagrange. We studied him in seminary, Three Ages of the Interior Life. He said also to renew that vigor, throwing wood into the fire of the soul, to recover the spirit of faith, enthusiasm, and generosity in the love of God, we must daily and courageously impose a little sacrifice on ourselves, in those matters in which we are the weakest. Daily. It's like throwing wood into the fire to get that fuel, get the fire of faith, which starts becoming a living flame. Remember our Lord when he came down and said, oh, I wish the world were already set ablaze. I've come to set it ablaze. Okay. Second, take that first step. Have you ever had maybe a particular project? Maybe a lot of mail. Maybe you have a lot of mail that comes in. You're overwhelmed. You want to give in to that, just like a sadness. Oh, boy. It's really easy to give in to sloth. I'm not going to even touch it. Divide and conquer. Take one step. Okay, I'll do 3 letters today, 5 letters today. Whatever your projects or things may be for you. Divide and conquer. At least take that one step. That avoids a spiritual sloth that wants to bring you to a standstill. And then pray for fortitude in the face of sadness and unpleasantness. There's a lot of other things, but let me give you an example of a person who was bound by the 7 capital sins and the sin of sloth, especially when it comes to the spiritual life. His name is Saint Norbert. Saint Norbert, you may know, he founded the Norbertines, did a lot of things to build up the church, but it wasn't like that at the beginning in this life. So listen to this. Norbert, he was rich, handsome, keen of intellect, a lot of the worldly things. They said he was pleasure's slave. He placed high value on luxury, ease, entertainment, recreation. All those were important to him, but only if they provided him enjoyment or advancement. He dressed in finery he proudly admired, and he was certain that he was superior to others and brilliantly handsome. Norbert was riding one day an exquisite, expensive horse to the gala ball at the court of Henry V, the Emperor of Germany. So this is a big event, an invitation from the king, from the emperor. I got to be there. I got to make a show. Suddenly, without no warning at all, it was like a beautiful day, a lightning bolt came down and struck his horse. He fell, his horse fell, and the horse was dead. So he's shocked what's going on here. But I got to get to the ball. I got to get to the ball and make an appearance there. And then the next thing, it was almost like it was a spiritual lightning bolt. It hit his heart. Boom. And the voice of God spoke from the clouds. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. He's just trembling. What's going on? His horse is just knocked down. Hearing the voice of God. He's not a man of prayer. He's not a man focused towards heaven. He's all worldly. Sloth. I'm not going to give any time towards God. He's not one of my priorities. Now God's speaking to him. And his whole body is just trembling. Now, if you were in that state, let's say that you were maybe a couple blocks up from the church here. Now, something like that happened to you. You're driving, all of a sudden a lightning bolt comes out, nice day, and hits your car. Boom. And somehow that lightning bolt was so powerful, it knocked you out in the street. The next thing you hear God's voice, turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. What do you think you would do? I bet you, you'd probably walk down another block into the church. That's what St. Bernard did. He walked into the nearest church, and he said he experienced a strength flowing from the Blessed Sacrament, hidden in the chapel tabernacle of the monastery. The divine strength invigorated him so much that he spent the rest of his day there. And then he would spend every free moment in chapel kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, aware of his disordered desires for ease, adulation, his laziness in his spiritual life, his desires for pleasures, Norbert clung to the Eucharistic presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament the way a non-swimmer clings to a life raft in the heavy seas. There's a lot of other wonderful things that follow here, but basically, he got his priorities turned around, made God his number one priority, and then God was able to use him for big things. And then guess what happened? Our Lord said, if you do this, then you will have peace. Peace in your heart. Now, I think about St. Norbert, and then I think about Mother Teresa. St. Norbert realized he was all those worldly things, and God gave him this grace. Bishop Sheen said this. He's a servant of God. He said, a soul that's spiritually destitute, so empty, they need the worldly things. They have to really dress up really fine all the time, make good appearance to everybody. They have to have this external, because they don't have in the internal. Mother Teresa had such a deep internal knowledge and love of God, so filled, she could just wear that little sari, and she was perfectly content. She didn't care what the people of the world thought about her. She could be with kings, she could be with the poorest of the poor. She had such an interior strength there. She had the priorities. So every single day when God was sending her an invitation for the banquet, she was there, the banquet of the Mass. Now, every single day, Monday through Saturday, we have adoration here. And we just had all day adoration of First Friday, from Saturday, a Friday morning, 7:30, all through the day, through the night, until Saturday morning. How many of you came? At least for a little bit. I see this, I've said this before, but I see the sign-up sheet, and I know the Lord's saddened, because I know he's sending out many invitations, and many invitations are ignored, and we have other business to take care of. Make God a priority. What I'm trying to do here as a pastor is what it says in the Scripture, St. Paul, when our Lord says, come up higher, my friends. If you're at that state, well, I'm happy where I am at the spiritual life, then you're in the sin of sloth. Because God is constantly, constantly calling us up higher. He wants to enrich us, not so much externally, but interiorly. So let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Lord Jesus, grant us the gift of repentance, that we may see those areas in our lives in which we're ignoring your grace. Help us to accept every single invitation of grace that you send us every day. Help us, dear Lord, to make you a priority in our daily lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.